Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, what is it some wise man once said? I can't remember who it was, but it went something like this. The reports of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. That's the truth. And listen, for all of you out there, all of you God haters out there, all of you out there witches out there have been cooking up your brews, been throwing stuff our way. Those of you who've been entered into a victory dance and a victory celebration. What was it John Paul Jones said? I have not yet begun to fight. Yes, I had quite a bout over the last, I don't know, 40, what, this week. I'll give you the brief story about it, then I'm going to go on. And I can't wait to get to Chappaqua. I will not be deferred. I will not be backed down and none of that stuff gone. And here's the story. But by the way, I was kind of jealous yesterday because the program you guys did without me was top notch. Man, was it good. Mikey did a great job with it. And the comments that you guys had, wow, it was I'm telling you, it was really, really good. But instead of getting jealous, I remembered that I always told everybody that if you're a good coach, you can miss practice and nobody misses you. And that was kind of the situation yesterday. We got a deep bench, a good bench, a deep bench. And, boy, the outpouring of people sending me comments and text messages. I didn't get back to all of you. I just couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. So bless all of you who sent me emails and text messages. Maybe I can catch up with a few of them today, but it's been a hectic 36 hours for sure. Hey, we need to pray. I'm going to ask somebody to do it right now. Who's in here? Is Dale in here? I'll trust old Dale. Dale's one of those official pastor kind of guys. I could trust all of you. I don't mean it to sound that way. We need to pray for Todd Barn this morning. Todd, he's just still struggling, gets discouraged. His blood count's up, his blood count's down. He's fighting this battle with leukemia. He's getting discouraged. Hey, he's a fighter. He's all right, but he just discouraged, man. Who's gonna right now take Todd to the Lord for us? Somebody volunteer to do that? I don't see Dale in here. Somebody volunteer to do that?
I'll do that, Coach.
Thank you, brother. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as a group of men and women who are believers in Christ, and we lift up our brother Todd Barm, to you, the Almighty Healer. Father, we ask that you do whatever is needed, whatever your will shall be, to eradicate his body of this dreaded leukemia disease. Father, we ask you to keep his family anointed in your word, keep his family pushing forward toward your goal of spreading the news of the kingdom of God. Father, we just ask this, that you protect him and everybody, and we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. And we cast out that demonic spirit of cancer. We send it to the dark spots, never to return to Todd, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, let me tell you the story here. Here's what happened. I never once was worried. I never once was worried. I've never had any fear. Folks, I thank God for what I just went through over the last few hours. Mark, it looks, your microphone's open. Mark Trump, did you want to say something? I noticed it was open.
I just put it on in case I do.
Pardon me? Okay, Jack, I got you. Listen, folks. I told my wife, and we're sitting in the hospital. It was, what night was that? I lost track. It was Monday night, I think. By the way, yesterday is the first show that I've missed in 3.5 years. I said, you know, honey, you could be planning a funeral right now. Kind of a mic drop, isn't it? Instead of sitting in here in the emergency room with me, you could be planning a funeral right now. Life is but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. That every one of us, we are in the hands of the Lord, period, man. Every one of us. If you think that you're in control of anything in your life, buddy, You better go back to the planning table and check that thing out again. Because unless the Lord is your strength, unless the Lord is directing your path, you ain't got any hope in any direction. So when it happened to me, I had no fear. Here's what it was. On a Saturday night, I didn't sleep hardly at all Saturday night. I think I get my nights right. Yeah, I didn't sleep hardly at all. And I couldn't figure out why. There was, you know, something was going on in my body, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I couldn't really sleep all night long. I couldn't. I got up Sunday morning. I told Michelle, man, I'm whipped. I'm whipped. And I took a little nap. I think I had my days right. That would have been Sunday. I remember I was up 40 some hours there, so bear with me. And so Sunday afternoon, Michelle and I took a walk, and we were out taking a walk out in this. Was uphill, and I got started walking up the top of the hill, and all of a sudden thought, boy, there's a tightness in my chest. I never thought, what is this? And I was breathing heavy, but man, this is crazy. I went home afterwards. I laid down and took a nap, and then I took another like a 2-hour nap in the afternoon, and this is nuts. And then went to bed Sunday night. I think I got my days right. What is today? Today's Wednesday. Monday night, went to whatever, and just as I lay down in bed, it's funny. I crawled in bed. Michelle's in bed, and our grandson David was staying with us. We make a little place on the floor for David to sleep, and David was sleeping on the floor, and something scared him. He woke up and he crawled in bed with us, and so David's on one edge, Michelle's in the middle, David and me, as the three of us were laying in bed. And Michelle said, she said, "Oh, I have Davids on both sides. I love my two Davids." She said to little David as he crawled in bed with us. And it was like instantaneous, boom, something started inside of me again. And it was something. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was something. And, you know, we all get into denial and say, well, I got indigestion. It's got to be something like that. And finally I came to my senses and said, no, this ain't indigestion. And I got up and checked my pulse, and my pulse rate was very, very rapid and very, very weak. And said, this ain't good. So I woke Michelle up, and this was Monday night about 10 o'clock, I think it was. And faithful old dog that she is, maybe even later than that, we jumped in the car, and she took me to the hospital. And we went in, you know, you check in the hospital, and the waiting room's full of people and thinking, oh, golly, we're going to be here forever. And so they took me back, did a real quick triage, blood pressure, checked all that stuff, then went back, sat back out in the waiting room. I wasn't out in the waiting room not a minute and a half, and the guy a nurse came out and says, doctor, let's see you now. How's that make you feel, right? So we went, and a doctor comes in, says, you know, your EKG was not normal. So that's why, thank God, it moved me ahead of all those people who are in there. So then we go on this journey over the next however many hours of being pricked and poked and popped, and they did everything to me. Man, they did heart catheterization. They did a sonogram on my heart. They went through all that stuff. And at the end of the day, the doctor said, I don't know what the heck happened to you. You had a heart attack. You have a clear, your arteries are clear. Your heart pumps so strongly. You're just good, man. Everything, I can't find anything wrong with you. And in the doctor's orders, no supplements, no drugs, no nothing. Just keep doing what you're doing. Whatever you're doing is working. So we walked out of there last night about, I don't know, it was 8 o'clock, maybe 7 o'clock before we got out of there last night after being in there. And I don't have no idea. I know I had some type of heart thing, but there appear to be no causes or no reasons to do it. Now I got a lot of texts and a lot of emails from a lot of it. Listen, I want you guys to know a couple things about me. I don't eat junk food. I don't eat junk food. I'm really not I used to be, but I'm not a junk food eater. I don't sit around and do all that stuff. I just don't do it. And I don't drink a lot of coffee, and I take pretty good care of myself. I'm 66 years old, and I don't run like I used to run, but I walk. I take care of myself. I really, really do. So those who say, Coach Boy, you got to change your diet and everything. I'm just telling you, I don't have to. I eat a lot of salads, and I guess I'm naturally built the way that I am, that I look stocky, but I'm really not that big a pig on food. And then the second thing, please understand this. I'm not a stress guy. I don't stress. I may be walking near the fire every day of my life, and already ready and engaged and ready to get into the fire. But see, that's the way the Lord made me, folks. Listen, I want you to understand this. I don't have a stressful walk. My life is not stressful. I love what I do. It energizes me to be engaged in the battle and be battle planning. That engages me. That is not stressful. You know what's stressful to me? Lawnmowers that don't work. People not doing what they said they were going to do. Trivial stuff. That's what stresses me out. I do not live a life of stress. So I know that all of us, again, we're also programmed, you know, about we got to do this, you got to do this. Listen, I have the peace of the Lord in my heart every day of my life. I'm not stressed out. I'm not overworked. People say, you got to quit running here and quit running. That's what I do. That's who I am. It's not stressful. It's stressful for me to sit around and watch all this stuff go on and nobody doing anything about it. That's stressful. But when I'm actively engaged with Matt and with Mark and with all of you out there and George and folks, listen, I'm not stressed. Now, I believe, I don't know why. I don't know why the Lord permitted it to happen. I believe the enemy, I believe I'm on the devil's hit list. I believe there are witches out there throwing spells my way. I believe all that stuff. And I'm not giving any credit to the devil other than everyone should know this. I'm in the Lord's hands, baby. I'm in the Lord's hands. And I'm going to run this race with patience, the race that is set before me. That's what I am going to do with him as the author and the finisher of my faith. And when my clock runs out, I'll know it ran out. The devil ain't going to kill me. Some witch casting spells on me isn't going to kill me. You understand that? I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, why that happened to me, I don't know, but the Lord allowed it to happen to me. I'm glad he did. You know why? I know my heart's good, great shape. I know my arteries are clear. I know I don't have any fear about any of that stuff. So God bless all of you. Thanks for all of you that called and texted and emailed and, man, oh, man, all the people who offered up prayers for us. But, baby, I am rip-roaring, ready to head to Chappaqua. I'd go there today, even though the doctor said I can't drive for a day, 2 days, something like that. I'm rip-roaring, ready to go. I'm not deterred. No. Let's go, baby. Let's go. So that's it in a nutshell. And it was a strange event. And why it happened, and as the song says, God only knows. But I felt great all day yesterday in the hospital. Other than I wanted to get the hell out of there. And I felt great last night. And I slept like a rock last night. And I woke up today energized as ever. So, boys, I'm picking up the flag and I'm running with it. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Now, anybody want to give me some advice? Victor, you want to give me some other medicines I need to take? The doctor said, whatever you're doing, keep doing. That's what the doctor said. So,
hey, Coach, is totally supernatural attack, brother. That's what it is. I believe the New York deal coming. I went through a similar situation in 2012, and it was totally a demonic attack, Coach.
I believe it was. I was never afraid. I never thought I was dying. Never, ever any of that. In fact, the whole time it was going on, I thought, you know what? The Lord's giving me a warning buzz here about something. I don't know what it is. And so that's why I was glad I went through all those tests and that catheterization and all that stuff, because now I know my arteries are clear, man. My arteries are clear. The girl that did the sonogram said, man, your heart's, wow. She says, your heart's better than the average guy. So praise the Lord on it. The devil's a liar, and he's not going to be able to steal what the Lord's put inside of me. So God bless y'all. God bless y'all. Anybody else? Don't come in here and tell me how much you love me and we miss you. I understand all that. I appreciate all of you, too.
You're ready for another million miles.
What's that, bud?
You're ready for another million miles.
Brother, I'm ready for – I have my 1 million-mile tune-up right there. I am ready, and I'm hoping some of you are coming to – I found out this morning that Craig from Shell Knobs driving in here all the way from Missouri to be part of the event. Anybody wants to come and gather at my house? I've already rented some cars. We are rip-roaring, ready to go. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, my wife is stressed because sleeping arrangements here at my home, I don't have sleeping arrangements for 16 people. We'll figure out. We got couches. We got floors. We got blow-up mattresses. This will be your roughest night here when you get here. Some are coming in on Thursday. Most are coming in on Friday. Just bear with us, okay? Just bear with us. I mean, I've got some rental cars. If I have to, I'll rent another car. And I thank all of you out there. This is amazing. I was able to pick up rental cars, unlimited mileage, for $102.50. One car, 4 days. $102.50, including tax, everything. So those of out there who've donated, sent that money that way, God bless you. If you can't go, you can help pay for a rental car. You know what really makes me mad? This is mad. I'm thinking of this. I'm telling you, these are the kind of things. This is what would cause me a heart attack. I'm thinking, daggone, five cars. That damn West Virginia Turnpike, that's $26 in tolls. I don't want to give them $130 over and $130 back. That kind of stuff stresses me out. But that's the truth. Got to pay $26 to drive on a public highway all the way over there. I'm trying to figure a way around it. I don't want to give them a nickel. Anybody else?
What's the status on Russ Dizdar?
What's that, bud?
What's the status on Russ?
As far as
his motorcycle.
Didn't hear? I walked on you. Started. Give me again, Joe.
I heard that he had a motorcycle accident.
Didn't hear that. I don't know. I did not hear that. Nope. I'm not arguing with you. I didn't hear it. I hope not. That happened to him a year ago when he was going to go do the spiritual warfare training in New York, which we're heading to here in a couple of weeks. I didn't hear that. You'd think that dummy'd stay off of it, wouldn't you? Think you would? So I pray for us. Whatever. Anybody else? I got some great stuff today.
Just to follow up on your event that just happened, Coach. You did say on Tom Dunn's show that you're not suicidal. So we know you're not suicidal and you have a good heart. So right. I think that covers the basis.
Yeah, listen, I thank God for this. See, think about it. You got all of us. I don't think you can just go in and get them to do one of those scans I had, right? Where they put that thing up into you, go and check out all your, I don't think you can just go get one of those. And I got one. And now I know my heart's great, man. There's no plaque buildup. My arteries are clear and flowing. And so I thank God that he gave me that assurance yesterday. But remember this, boom, when he's done with me, that can happen. Boom. Now we know that Satan's the author of death. God's not the author of death. Satan is the author of death, right? Satan's the one who causes death, or is all those who hate me love death. That's Satan. That's not God. Now God can cause death, but God's not in the death business. But we have to also understand that if we trust the Lord, when he pulls the plug on us, there's a reason why he pulled the plug on us. A lot of times he could pull a plug on us because he wants to prevent what's going to possibly occur to us in the future. God's merciful, just. And we have no right to live not one second beyond what he's granted us to live. And I walk that way, and I believe that in my heart. And I just want to work while the sun shines, baby, because the day's coming when no man can work. Jared, I'm really made. Jared, pull up. It says Matt's email. Get that. This inspires me. This song written by Ken, a brain's dead. Matt, what's Ken's last name? Black.
Paul.
Paul Kenall. Thank you. He wrote a song for Chappaqua. It's amazing. Amazing. The more I listen to this thing, it's pretty amazing. It's about 5 minutes. It's okay. But this is his final version of the song about Chappaqua. That Ken Hall's driving all the way from Nebraska. He's going to be doing a street concert at ours. This is just fabulous. Now, just again, we played a little bit of this the other day. But this is my heart, man. This is my heart. Hey, boys, it's now or never, baby. It's now or never. For America, it's now or never. Go ahead, Jared, play that.
They walked tall and held the line. They gave the people peace of mind.
Gave the people peace of mind.
Because they stood for what was right and held a lantern in the night. When it came down to a fight, good guys always won.
Good guys will always win.
I know the movies didn't wasn't all the show the way it really was. But they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be. It's time that we the people stood up to shout, where's that justice for all?
Justice
for all. Justice was blind and we're all equal under the law. But it didn't matter rich or poor, politician or man at the door.
That's right, baby.
We still see the traitors demanding more. We've all seen it on every station. It's like we have an infestation of ticks and leeches, just bleeding us dry. We elect them to protect our rights, but they spend more time just trying to start fights. Fight and conquer. They better think twice.
Amen.
I know the movies didn't always show the way it really was, but they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be.
Amen.
It's time that we the people stood up and shout, where's that justice for all? Our Lady Justice was blind and we're all equal under the law. But it didn't matter rich or poor, politician or man at the door, that we still see the traitors demanding. Show the way it really was, but they gave us hope we could be what God intended us to be.
You know, for decades, we the people have voted for those that we thought would honor their oath to serve us rather than prey on us. And decade after decade, they've taken that power, they've abused it to enrich their own lives and their own selves, and increase their own power at our expense. And instead of protecting our God-given rights and our kids' future and our kids' freedom, they've sold us out. They've destroyed it. Now it's time that we the people stand up and say the oath that you swore to uphold and defend the Constitution is a condition of employment. And if you can't keep it, you're fired.
Amen. Okay, that's good. That's good enough, Jared. That's right, baby. That's where I am with it. Hey, Matt or Mark, thank God for both of you, man. You've been doing yeoman work behind the scenes. Any updates, any last minute news for people out there regarding Chappaqua? No? It's got to be Matt's in there, aren't you, Matt or Mark?
Oh, I'm sorry, Coach. I was muted.
Somebody muted me. Sorry.
On Sunday, we do have a meetup area where we're going to meet at, Coach. Mm-hmm. And if Jared were to pull up the website under the updates link, there's a link on there that's called Bleach Your Whitey Tighties. Not your emails and servers. And when he opens that up, there's some information there.
It's on the screen now.
Okay. So basically, you know, we kind of gave a window of a parameter, an area outside or around Chappaqua where people can get to the area. And what we're going to do is, you know, later on as events unfold, we're actually going to be revealing where the location is. Just do a couple things that are going on. You know, we just don't want to give away too much until we get there. Not until we get there, but, you know, it'll be revealed. As you said, Ken Hall is actually going to be performing live. You know, you'll be there. Doug Hagman will be there. And it'll be just a place where we can start to decorate our cars. You know, if anyone needs water or anything like that, there'll be or food, that stuff will be available to them. I would encourage people to look down at the bottom of where that location update is and look at the slogans that we have and make sure that we're keeping the slogans associated with the crimes that have been committed and, you know, bringing equal justice. And you can make up your own signs. We got 20 or 30 signs that we're going to be bringing along, but, you know, obviously we're going to need more than that. Using the paint markers that they use on vehicles that use car lots for sale or, you know, cars that say, hey, just married, go over to the Party Rama store, pick up a couple markers, different colors, get creative, and let's have fun with it, right?
Hey, man, let's have fun with it. Keep the message sharp. Mark, anything?
No, just again, I wanted to send a shout out to Jared with all the updates he's made. Go to the updates link on the webpage. If you want to show that, Jared, that'd be great. But basically, we have the hotel information if you're flying in. And Matt's got the info there on the slogans under the Bleacher Whitey Tidies. So just stay tuned to this update section. That's where we'll be posting our staging area. Go ahead and make a few signs. Throw them in the car if you're flying. There will be sign material there. We can make our own signs. And like Matt said, just have fun with it. This is a grassroots event. Let's enjoy some fellowship when we get there. Please pass the word. We could use prayers yesterday. Thank you for everyone who posted on the prayer wall. We had a lot of folks who shared their thoughts as well as prayers. There's a petition there. We'd like to share that petition with President Trump. So just please share this this website. It's pretty much self-explanatory. Coach, I put another call out to the Oath Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
So I contacted Stuart again today, and I'm just hoping that he responds and he can share our website. I know that all 55 or 60,000 Oath Keepers are not down there on the border, so there's no reason why they can't participate. There's no risk.
They probably want to.
No, exactly. They want to. They know about it. We asked Ken Hall. We have people who are joining us who are Oath Keepers. So there's no reason why people like the Oath Keepers, other veteran groups, let's get word out to those other veteran groups, other Christian groups. Talk to your pastors. Challenge them. Make them say no. Find out why your pastors would say no. But you know, this is the first event of a tour, equaljusticetour.com. So we really want to continue this effort. We want to wake people up. We want to get them involved. And, Coach, you know how it is going to a clinic. You're fearful the first time.
Sure.
But under good coaching and leadership, you feel safe. You see the impact, and you can do it again and again. There's no reason why we can't continue doing this. So, thanks to everyone supporting. Matt has done just an amazing job. Ken Hall. I invited a list of celebrities on their sites. Even if one of them show up, it would be more than, you know, more than if I hadn't asked them, right?
That's right.
So just put word out as best you can and do what you can in your circles of influence. If nothing else, pray. Share your prayers on the prayer wall. If you've already shared on a prayer wall, again, we pray without ceasing. Go back. Feel free when it crosses your mind to leave. I saw one on there. It says praying. It simply said praying. That's okay. That's what we want. We want to show that people, their minds are on this, their energy's on it, and they're calling the will of God to be done. So thanks to everyone. Meet us at the crime scene. I'm excited, Coach.
Folks, you're going to see the power multiplication because I went alone, And now we're going to see what multiplies out of just one. And imagine what's going to multiply out of the next one. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Some people won't come because they're afraid of the Clintons. There's no other nice way to say it. If we were going to go, we want to go to hold a protest and drive around some park someplace, people, they'll come. But, oh, they're not going to mess with the Clintons. Well, I'm going to.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of the Clintons, wouldn't that mean that you're putting the Clintons over God?
That's what that brother – tells you something, doesn't it? In fact, yeah. Mark, funny you would bring that up. Jared, go to it says Christian duty. Christian, do you guys understand that we have a duty? Christian men, do you understand you have a duty? Whatever happened to that? Remember duty, honor, country, something like that? Wasn't that the Boy Scout pledge? I think so. So I went today to duty. How about this? That which a person owes to another. It's your duty. I owe it to my grandchildren. I owe it to those who came before me. I owe it to my Lord. I have a duty to my Lord. That which a person is bound by any natural, moral, or legal obligation to pay, do, or perform. Jared, underline that for the slow learners out there. Duty is that which a person is bound by any natural, moral, or legal obligation to pay, do, or perform. Now, doesn't Matthew 28 say, go ye into all the world? Doesn't it say that? I think it does. Doesn't Matthew 28, or not Matthew 28, doesn't the scripture say, occupy till I come? Doesn't it say in the book of Jude, earnestly contend for the saints? I think it does. And that is a duty. It says in obedience to princes, magistrates, and laws is the duty of every citizen. Well, who's the highest prince? The Prince of Peace. I have a duty to him. I have a duty, a moral, natural, legal obligation to do this. So do you. Respect and kindness to parents are our duties. Jared flashed that off on me. Hang on a second. Fidelity to friends is a duty. Reverence and obedience and prayer to God are indispensable duties. The government and religious instruction of our children, those are duties. They're duties of parents, and they cannot neglect without guilt. Hey, folks, you are weighed in a balance, and you're found wanting. You are guilty. I'm guilty. Forbearance of that which is forbid by morality, law, justice, or propriety. It is our duty to refrain from lewdness, intemperance, profaneness, and injustice. It's our duty to obey and observe and submit to our King. It's our duty. It's an act of respect or reverence to do what is your duty. The business of a soldier or a Marine on guard or the company on duty. It's their business of being a soldier. That's your duty. The business of war, military service, spiritual war. The regiment did duty in Flanders. It's a duty. We have a duty. Come on. Christianity brings with it a duty. Now I'm going to open your eyes to something else here. Praise the Lord. Jared, click on Be a Prophet. I didn't understand this for the longest time. And some of you still don't understand it. So I'm going to give you a little lesson here. We've been taught wrongly again, of course. They always do. What's a prophet? The Bible says that the prophet is without honor. A prophet. So first of all, a prophet should be honored. But the Bible says that the prophet doesn't have any honor in his hometown. You don't have any honor in your hometown. Why? Well, see, we don't understand what a prophet is. See, we turn a prophet into a job description. And all you got to do is go through the internet and check out, and you'll find prophet so-and-so here and prophet so-and-so here and prophetess so-and-so here. And all they are, these are phony, made-up positions that people have got into in regards to religion, when at the most simple of terms, sorry about my earpiece here, At the most simple of terms, a prophet is what? In general, a prophet is a person who speaks God's truth to others. Okay. Can anybody say, hey, I never knew that, Coach? I never knew that. I thought a prophet was someone who predicted the future. No, that's what they've told us. That's what they've told us it is. That you have to be a prophet and predict the future and see the signs. And Mark Taylor is a prophet. Well, maybe Mark Taylor is a prophet and operating in the prophetic. But, dude, if you think that you can't operate in the prophetic, if you can't be the one who does what? Speaks truth to others. That's all you guys here in the queue. That's what draws you back here. Day after day after day. Because you have a prophet's anointing on you. You've recognized the truth. The truth bothers you. It bothers you that the truth isn't being lived out and spoken and defended. And it bothers you because you're walking in a prophet's anointing, but you don't recognize it as such. Because why? You thought that's a guy who puts on a cape and a big hat and sits all by himself and then comes out and tells us what the word of the day from the Lord. That ain't what a prophet does. Again, in a general sense, a prophet is a person who speaks God's truth to others. The English word prophet comes from the Greek word prophetes, which means one who speaks forth or an advocate. Hey, Randy, are you an advocate for the Lord? Hey, George, Paul, when you guys go out there at that clinic, are you an advocate for the Lord? Then you are a prophet. You're speaking the prophetic. You're speaking the oracles of God in the place where it needs to be spoken. If you don't speak it, that's why Jesus himself said, if you don't speak it, the rocks themselves are going to cry out. Prophets are often called seers because of their spiritual insight or their ability to see the future. Listen, being a prophet is no more than this. Folks, this is pretty simple. A prophet is just simply, you look at the situation and say, daggone, huh? If somebody doesn't do something about that, this is what's going to happen. That's all a prophet does. A prophet doesn't sit down and predict the future. Those who claim that role of prophet, you never ever heard me. I walk in the prophetic anointing, but you've never ever heard me say I'm a prophet. However, okay. I operate as one a lot. Yeah, Mark.
A prophet. To tell the future, even if we said that, right? Nothing's new on heaven and earth.
Nothing new under the sun.
So aren't you telling the past? Aren't you reading the Bible and decoding the past? Since nothing's new on earth, the future is the past, right, Coach?
Well, that's exactly
right. Isn't that
the
logic?
It's a pattern, right, Mark? It's a pattern, right? Say, look, you remember when this happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, it's going to happen here. That's a prophetic anointing, right? Or you can be a prophet, not even using God's word, but you could say to one of your family members, say, I'm going to tell you something. If you keep doing that, you're going to get in trouble. That's a prophetic warning. That's a prophetic utterance. You understand that, right? In the Bible, prophets often had both a teaching and revelatory role, declaring God's truth on contemporary issues. Wow! While also revealing details about the future. What were the details about the future? You keep spitting in the eye of God, this is going to happen. Wow. Isaiah's ministry, for example, touched on both the present and the future. He preached boldly against the corruption that he saw, and then said, here's what's going to happen if you don't all stop it. Prophets had the task of faithfully speaking God's word to the people. They were instrumental in guiding the state of Israel and establishing the church. God's house is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. More than 113 named prophets are mentioned in the Bible, including 16 women. In addition, numerous others prophesied, such as the 70 elders of Israel, yada, yada, yada. And it goes on. I'm not going to read down through this whole thing. Folks, understand this. Anytime you show up on the scene and you speak truth into a situation, you are operating in the prophetic. Okay, I'm going to open the door up. Somebody come in here. Say, Coach, I never knew that. That's not what they taught me in my Bible school. They taught me in my Bible school that I could predict that prophets predict the future. And boy, there goes a prophet. That guy's a prophet because he can predict the future. Really? Really? How about just showing up and speaking the truth to power? That'd be prophetic, wouldn't it? How about just showing up and speaking the truth in the midst of lies? That'd be prophetic, wouldn't it?
Hey, Coach, something to duty, related to duty. What did Jesus tell them? You know, he's the king, right? He's the Messiah. He's the one who completed everything. What did he tell everybody? He said, look, I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, not only that, he was speaking. Jesus was very prophetic when he said to us, hey, listen, brothers, your enemy is going to be those of your own household. How prophetic was that? Jesus was constantly taking the word of God and saying, if you don't do this, here's what's going to happen. That's the prophetic. That's being a prophet. That's not saying you know for sure what's going to happen. The idea that you walk in the office of the prophetic, as I've said this a number of times, the fivefold ministry gifts that gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry gift, although the prophets, pastor, and teachers pretty much the same gift. But let's understand this. Folks, come on now. If I'm an apostle, is that it? I'm just a thumb. Can I ever be a prophet? Can I ever be an evangelist? Can I ever be a pastor or a teacher? Of course. In every situation, if you're walking under the unction of God, you may be called at any time in your life to serve in any one of those functions. If you're a born-again, spirit-filled, Bible fire-breathing Christian, you need to be able to operate in every one of those spiritual gifts at any given time. For somebody to say, I have the gift of the prophet. Well, dude, you also have the gift of the evangelist. It's which one are you operating in at that time? Do you understand? You don't think that an apostle ever points his finger and says, no, no, don't do that. Don't do that. What's the apostle? The apostle is the one who builds. It goes around and builds and put things together. And sometimes as he's going around putting things together, he stops, says, whoops, switching fingers. Don't do that. And while he's out switching fingers saying, don't do that, he comes across somebody else and says, let me tell you that he becomes an evangelist. Let me tell you about Jesus. Becomes an evangelist. And then he gets that little somebody hooked. He says, okay, well, I'm going to become a pastor. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to individually take control of you, and I'm going to guide you. And by the way, I'll teach you as I do that. This is not a religious system that's been established with a fivefold ministry.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
A true prophet ain't ever going to call himself a prophet anyway. The other people's going to see it in him, Coach.
They're not. That's right. That's it. That's right. Because they recognize the anointing, don't they? They recognize the anointing.
Amen. And every prophet in the Bible, just about every one of them, they was all the time by themselves. Family didn't want to do with them. A bunch of folks didn't. They walked an uncompromising life, and people didn't want that conviction to being around them.
That's right, brother. They were in trouble all the time because they walked an uncompromising life, and they spoke truth into lies. Folks, you're in here now because that anointing's on you. You just haven't recognized it. That's really what it's about. And I know that sometimes when the show's over, because you're like me, sometimes when the show's over, you're just on fire and you just want to go say something to somebody. That's that prophetic anointing that wants to come out of you, speaking truth to power. Not saying, brother Kevin, I'm going to lay my hands on you, brother Kevin. And Kevin, you're going to sell 480 homes in the next 6 days, brother. And the finances are going to be that baloney. Now, you may get a word from the Lord. But see, we have taken the prophetic, which is simply an anointing of God, and we've turned it into a ministry.
Hey, Coach, whenever it becomes predicting, that's when you know it's not of God. You know the unction's not there. That's what we've seen so much of in the church in the last 20 or 30 years. And that's why everyone's afraid of it or go against it. But when you see the true prophetic come out in people, and I see it on people in the show, just like you say, Coach. I see it all the time. I can tell by their words. And all it is they're seeing what God is doing, and they speak what he's doing.
They just speak what you see. That's all.
That's it.
Remember what I told you, my little grandson, David? The Lord shall open doors. The Lord will open doors. You shall walk through them. Remember I told you that? That was a prophetic unction on that little 3-year-old boy. We all carry that, man. We all carry that. Get your head out of the professional ministerial class and walk in the anointing of God in your life. In every situation you're going to find yourself, you will have the opportunity to be an apostle at some points. You'll have the opportunity to be a prophet at some points, a finger pointer, thus says the Lord. You'll be the evangelist, the one who carries the gospel. You'll be the pastor, the one who instructs others, and the teacher. The pastor and the teacher are the same job. You're going to, if you're a Christian, you're going to operate in all of those at different points. You can't sit around and say, boy, our church would be okay if we could just find us a prophet. Daggone, anybody seen any prophets out here? Anybody? I've been looking for them. No, it's a gift. It's an anointing. It's a flow. A lot of you are prophets and don't even know it. Okay, I got a couple other things. Somebody, well, I'll show you a prophet. Jared, pull up here where it says drag queen. And I want to brag on my buddy. Richard Rapp, who listens to the show every day. And I wish I could get some of you guys to spend time with Richard Rapp and let him tell you the journey he's had over his life. He shows up at the clinic every Friday. He and some other buddies go to the abortion clinic, been doing it faithfully for I don't know. And now Richard's expanded it into, he's worked with a men's group. He's grown in his faith. And where he lives, this is the Columbus, our news station here in Columbus, WBNS 10 TV. Of course, we know what's going on, right? They're going to have drag queens in another library. Of course. What should we do? Nothing about it? We won't do anything about it because we can't find any prophet that'll go say anything against it. Boy, if we could just, Harriet, can we find a prophet somewhere? Somebody needs to go say something to them. Will we go find a prophet anywhere? So, yeah, I'll send Richard. So here's a news clip. Coming to a library near you. Of course, Delaware, Ohio has a university there, Ohio Wesleyan University, where my wife went to school. And of course, they're so much wiser than everybody else. Wherever you find a college town, you will find the God haters. They thrive in God hating. So Delaware, Ohio is, first of all, it's one of the fastest growing counties in all of America, Delaware, Ohio. Very, very affluent. And so they know better than everybody else. So they thought it would be a good idea to bring a drag queen to speak at their library. And who shows up? Why, stupid old Richard. Go ahead and play this, Jared. It's only about 2.5 minutes. Richard will be the first man that you... you'll know when it's Richard. You'll know when it's Richard. God bless you, Richard.
New at 11 tonight, plans for a library lesson in drag prompted a big turnout at a typically small meeting. A Delaware County summer reading program features a Drag 101 event next month. 10TV's Lacey Crisp has both sides of this emotional debate.
Hang on.
Library Board Commission.
Both sides. Folks, there ain't two sides to this issue. Listen to me. There is not two sides to this issue. Well, you know what they're doing? They are doing violence. They are forcing down the throat of young children deviancy. There is not two sides to this. They lied to us. Go ahead.
Commissioners joked this was the biggest crowd they've seen at one of their meetings. That's where the joking ended.
I don't see this as a political event. I see this as an event tied into the...
Library Director George Needham knows what's best for your children and your grandchildren, and he is going to force deviancy down their throat because he loves people. He's going to force it down your throat. Go ahead, George.
They're tied into something that young people are interested in.
The library has invited friend of drag queen Nina West, Selena West, to teach a class on drag queens.
I came today in drag to show people who had an opposite viewpoint that it's not scary, that drag queens are humans, they're people.
West argues the class is about theater, dressing up, Halloween! Not about sexuality.
And it's Richard. Character. My program is going to be about hair, makeup,
nails,
the history of drag. It's not going to be about sex. It's not going to be about gender. It's not going to be about are you trans?
But parents still have concerns.
I do think it does indicate some sexual choices.
One of parents' biggest concerns was whether they needed to give permission for kids to attend the event. The library director tells me kids can come with or without parents' permission.
Would you want your son or your grandson, 12 years old, would you feel good about that in the morning?
that I have concerns that it is.
Jared, roll that back. I yelled over him. That's our buddy Richard Rapp. He's come out. He's come out from hiding. Listen, the library says they don't even need parental control because just show up there because they're going to talk about makeup and hair. Yeah, they're going to have some man dressed as a woman, but there's no sexual. There's nothing sexual going on there with it. And Richard Rapp says, "I've had enough of it." Go ahead, Jared.
Would you want your son or your grandson, 12 years old, would you feel good about that in the morning?
But I have concerns that it is taxpayer funded and that there may be many taxpayers that do object to funds being used.
This is so illustrative. This is why we lose. If it wasn't taxpayer funded, is it okay then? Because everything they're teaching in your freaking school is taxpayer funded. That's the gig. That's what it's about. Take your tax dollars and cram it down your kid's throat. It's taxpayer funded. Oh, if it was privately funded, oh, we would be fine with using the library to do it. You understand how stupid we are? Pull that off.
Where's the separation of church and state at? Somebody needs to start throwing out in the ring bins. Every time we try to stand up, that's all we hear. Jesus is the only one that they throw that at. He's the only one they throw it at.
That's right. He's the only one, man. We don't even know how to fight. We don't even know how to fight, right? Gosh. Anybody else come in? God bless Richard Rapp. Hey, boys and girls, you just saw Richard Rapp functioning as a prophet. That's what you saw. Now, if I called up Richard and said, "Hey, Richard, great job, man. You are a prophet." He'd say, "What? What are you talking about? I ain't no prophet." No, he was operating in the prophetic, speaking the oracles of God, speaking truth to lies. That's what a prophet does. That's what you guys are operating in. Anybody else? I got something else I can show you real quick. Let me say this. I know we haven't done much Bible, but yes, we have. Yes, we have. We've done a lot of Bible. Again, if you're coming to my house, let me know. So we can get y'all planned and ready to go. Just say, "Coach, I'm swinging by Ohio." Mike and Evie Swanson are coming from. They're coming from Indiana. They're bringing their kids. Okay, this is gonna be great. Okay, I'm gonna finish with this because I'll probably ban it. George Patton. I just felt this morning. This was the spirit of America that won the Second World War. Jared, it just says Patton, and all of you guys have seen this. This is the movie clip from George C. Scott being General Patton. And Jared, maybe, yeah, pull it a little bit farther because it's just a lot of play. And they're playing the music. And when you see him start coming forward, okay, so right there, Jared. Okay, now, folks, this was the spirit of America that I grew up with. And this is the spirit of America that I'm believing that the Lord's going to return. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
You seated? I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Amen? All this stuff you heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxers. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Because the very thought of losing is hateful to America. Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, my God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do. Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. Let the Hun do that. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose. Now, there's one thing that you men will be able to say when you get back home. And you may thank God for it. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee, and he asks you, what did you do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, well, I shoveled shit in Louisiana. All right, now you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. I will be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That's all.
Amen, baby. Amen. To steal a phrase, I'm tired of shoveling shit in Louisiana. Tired of it. That's the American spirit. The only reason the enemy wins is because we fail to engage. I thank God. Thank God for it. Thank God for the breath of my life and my lungs. I thank God that he's created a new burning desire in my heart to glorify him, to be the prophet of God that he has called me to be, for you to be the prophet of God that God has called you to be, for you to be the only one in your community to stand up and speak the truth to those that don't want to hear the truth. That's the greatest thing that you can do, your obedience to God in an uncomfortable situation. And I'll never forget this. The prophets were without honor in their hometowns. You have to do it right where you are, and they won't honor you for it. They won't appreciate you for it. But the Lord will know you're doing your duty. I can't wait to go to Chappaqua. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.